Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis 1:1. There's a threefold declaration here in these first five verses of the Bible. If all we had were these five verses, mankind is without excuse. The purpose of God, the saving of sinners, the persevering of those that are saved, it's all declared right here. Day one. We can clearly see three things. Very plain. There's probably so much more to see. But we don't know what we don't know. There's so much more here than man has been given privilege to understand. But first we see the creation here in Genesis 1. God created everything. That used to be a very common understanding. Needs to be said in our day. But I don't want to dwell on that. If you want to see God's creation, open your eyes. Smell. Go outside and touch something. Taste something. We can experience that. Go listen to the birds sing. The first thing that's declared here is the Lord creating everything that we see, that we walk on. Next, we see the second creation in these first five verses. That new man created in the hearts of his people. We see regeneration. That's what I want to focus on tonight. And then finally, we can see the resurrection. When we are called to be with our Maker, we're called home to our husband, our Lord, forever. The first day of the rest of eternity. First day without sin. Completely and totally. Without this body of death. What that'll be like. It says in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. In the beginning, God. And these four short words hang all the mysteries of life. How long would it take a man to understand that? In the beginning, God. How long would it take us to exhaust the spiritual meaning of that? Can't be done, can it? Who's sufficient for these things? You ask most people who claim to be Christians. There's a reason I don't use that word. I say believers or God's saints, those that are sanctified or His children, His people. But it's just abused so horribly and blasphemous in this day to be called, people call themselves Christians. But you take, ask most people, say, I'm a Christian. And you say, tell me how you're saved. They begin with, well, it started when I. Is that right? In the beginning, I. Oh, no. In the beginning, God. This is how we know that this is God's Word. That this is His holy, inspired, the holy, inspired Word of God is in four words given by Him. You can comprehend the entirety of the Scriptures. In the beginning, God. What, you turn to any page. What's this page about? In the beginning, Christ. It's about His Son. Our God. Our Lord and our God. That's the key to it all. First four words. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm not worried about proving God is. That ain't my business. Lord didn't call me here to do that. I'm not proving that He created the universe. That's not my concern. David wrote to us in Psalm 19, said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." Walk outside. I don't have to argue that. People say, "I don't believe God did it." None of my business. Pray the Lord teach you something. All of these things in creation, they prove the power of God and of all mankind is without excuse. The fool has said, "No, God." We do not prove God, we declare Him. God does not prove Himself to men and women. He reveals Himself through the preaching of the gospel. The Hebrew writer told us, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's the title to the car. Faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. How's all this get here? The Lord spoke. The Word of God. Christ created it. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We see there in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, the face of the waters, and God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." Here we see a picture of that triune God saving His elect. There's God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Word. John told us, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Paul told us plainly there in Ephesians 1, the Father purposed salvation of His people. He put them in Christ before the world was. The Son purchased them. His blood bought them, redeemed them. And the Holy Spirit abounds towards them and proclaims this salvation of the Lord. And we see the need of salvation. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit right there working in harmony. The purpose of God. And we see our need of salvation. Look in verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." In your physical beginning on this earth, God made you. He created you. You did not make you. You didn't create you. Mommy and Daddy were used by Him, but they didn't make you. They didn't create you. God created you. And our fallen Adam, and our fallen ourselves, our sin against God, in our conception, we were without form and we were void from day one, our day one. We were made from the earth and we had no form and we were empty and we were dark from our conception. Without form. That means vanity. Get that? Without form means vanity. All of mankind is vain in our pride. Well, I couldn't be dark. I couldn't be empty. I couldn't be vain. I couldn't be without form. I've got a shape to me. It's what we are. In ourselves, we think so highly of us, don't we? You can take a cardboard box that's empty. You go down one of these grocery stores, they try to get you to take them. Go down to Costco. They try to give you a cardboard box. It's empty. But it's got shape to it, don't it? It's got a form. You can use it. You can take it home, turn it on its side, use it as a nightstand. You can use it. What if that thing was wet like a jellyfish? Dang, can't use it. It's void. It's empty. It ain't worth nothing. We don't even make a good coffee table, do we? All of humanity is void of wisdom in our natural birth. We're void of understanding. We're void of love. We're void of grace and mercy because we've never come in contact with it. In our natural state, in these dying bodies, we have no form. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 4. This is who the Lord's speaking of here in Genesis chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 4. Remember, Nahum spoke of Nineveh Picture that city that's at war with God's people. And the prophet Nahum said, "She is empty and void and waste, and the heart melteth and the knees smite together, and much pain is in all loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness." Speaking of Nineveh, the enemy of God. For one generation, God sent Jonah, didn't he? He saved Nineveh. Used Jonah's preaching, God saved Nineveh. From the king to the smallest babies. But by nature, empty, void, waste, and blackness. Here in Jeremiah 4, verse 22. Jeremiah 4, 22. "For my people is foolish, and they have not known me. They are sottish children." That means silly. They're foolish children. "And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil." We're good at that. They know how to do that. "But to do good, they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light." What's wrong with these children? That's just so apt to do evil. They don't have any knowledge of how to do good. They're without light. They're just like the earth. They're without form, and they're void. Our text says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." This is speaking of us in our natural birth. The scriptures tell us plainly, all men, all women, the nicest ones you ever met and the meanest ones you ever met, born of their father Adam, they've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some people, sweet. There's people on this earth I love, I care deeply for. And they're kind to me. Oh, they're so just gentle and patient, and they know so much, they're so willing to share it. They've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Turn over to John chapter 3. In our first creation, our first birth, we have no form, no structure of ourselves. We're just vanity. We're empty. And darkness is on our deepest parts, all the way down to our soul, our cold, stony hearts. And we don't desire Christ the light. That's how we were created in this earth. Here in John 3, verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Jeremiah told us we are wise to do evil. We got that part down. We're never taught to lie. No one's ever taught us that. It just comes natural, don't it? Verse 20. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Those that have light revealed in them, they declare that the Word of God wrought that light in us. That it was His work, His workmanship that saved us, that gave us light. How does that happen? How do sinners have the light of God shed abroad in us? You stay there at our text in John 3, but in our text in Genesis 1, it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep," down here. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Look up in verse 5. God must move on the dark, watery hearts of a sinner, and He must do a work in them. John 3, verse 5. "And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." This work must be performed by our holy God. By God, the Holy Spirit moving upon the face of our waters. He must do that. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. "Preacher, are you telling me that the same God that made the light..." Well, people can agree with that. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Most folks walking up and down the street can tell you that. You say, that same one, He sent a spirit to move in my heart to see that Christ is light. And man doesn't have a part in it, and God's going to get all the glory for that. Is that what you're telling me? Look here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That's exactly what I'm saying. Just as surely as God said, "Let there be light," there was light. Just as surely as He commanded you to be born, He separated you from your mother's womb, you were born. That's the surety of His command for light to shine in the hearts of His people. He said, they're mine. I'm going to shine Christ. I'm going to reveal Christ in their hearts. And it's going to happen. It's guaranteed. It's sure. When the Spirit abounds towards you, there's no refuting. When the Spirit moves on those waters of darkness, there's no sticking your hand up and making the wind go. Where's the wind blow? Wherever it listeth. You don't know where it's coming, don't know where it's going, and you can't stop it. That's what's called irresistible grace. Do you know why grace is irresistible? Because it's got to be. We wouldn't have no interest in it, would it? So God saves people against their will. He sure does, with their full consent. We praise Him for eternity for it. Thank you, Lord. What wisdom. It must be. We are vain and we are void and we are dark. That grace must be irresistible. Back in our text here in Genesis 1. Verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. There can only be light when God says, let there be light. And when God says, let there be light, there will be light. Without a doubt. And He speaks in the heart of His people and says, light. There's going to be light. And the only way there can be light in somebody is if the Lord speaks. If His Word commands, let there be light in them. John told us there in 1 John 1, this is the message which we have heard of Him. It's what the Lord told us. He was taught of Him. And we declare unto you. We're not proposing, we're not sharing, we're declaring it to you. Here's what the Lord said. That God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. He is the light. John goes on to say, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You're walking in the light the Lord gave you. I'm walking in the light the Lord gave me. We have fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. What we have in common? The Spirit moved on us. A sinner will be the first one to tell you, I was empty. I was vain. I was dark. And God did something. He moved on me. I walk side by side with the brethren that believe the same thing I do because they have the same God I have. They have the same Father I have. That's my siblings. They were shown the same light. We have that common bond, and your sins and my sins were washed by the same blood. That's have something in common, isn't it? That's called family. Makes us related. You can sit down with someone and you can show them the gospel out of these scriptures. Take the Bible with you and say, look here, in the first 5 verses. In the beginning, God. The earth is us. Go to Jeremiah 4 and say, look, this is talking about us. Yeah, the earth has happened. And the Lord shaped it and He gave some light to it. But this is us. It's talking about us. And they can't see it. Do you see it now? I can't see it. That brazen serpent. That was Christ. There was no venom in Him. No sin in Him. Look to Him. You're still going to get bit a whole bunch. Look to Him and live. I don't get it. I can't see it. They cannot see it until God commands light to be revealed in them. I can have 20/20 vision and all the lights are off. I can't read what's in this book, can I? I can't see it. You got to have light. When does God command light to shine in His child's heart? When's man saved? When it pleases God. When it pleases Him. When would it please me to save some folks? Not when it pleases God. When's it going to happen? When it pleases God. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, we understand that, and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. Christ the light. Let there be light. Same as we was naturally born, that's how the Lord bears His children. Luke told us when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." The riches of this light, the great mystery revealed, Paul told us in Corinthians 1, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this light of Christ is revealed in His people. Now you got hope. That ain't wishy. That ain't wishing. That's an expectation. Every time I waver and I falter and I have doubt and I have unbelief, I'm looking at me. And I look to Him. Lord going to save His people? I know He's going to save His people. Is He going to keep them forever? Of course He will. I'm confident in Him. I have hope. Is He returning? Yes. Maybe today. If not, I'll die first and I'll see Him at that appointed time. It hits right. I know that. What else do I know? Everything I look to me, or I look at this world that's void and vain and empty and darkness, well, we just get so sad, don't we? Think we got lights like in the 70s. You got black light. You think you're seeing something now. No, you ain't. It's just distorting everything. We look to Christ a lot. Looking to Him. When God speaks, His command goes forth in the perfect time. The Holy Ghost moves on the heart of His bride and reveals Christ, who He is. Reveals man, who we truly are. Like Peter said, when he saw, "Lord, depart from me. I shouldn't need your presence. I'm nothing but sin." And reveals that in the beginning, God, salvation's of the Lord. And it's done. It's complete. Justice is satisfied. When we see something, and God teaches us something, when He finally reveals a little bit of light to us, boy, it's bright. It is bright. Me and Cameron went down to Mammoth Caves, Kentucky. And they take you deep, deep down in them caves. And they get you, we're probably a mile back in there, and there's a little cavern in there. And they say, everybody sit down in a circle. They got safeties and stuff, and they turn the light off. And it is pitch black. You think you got your eyes shut. And you can look, and they ain't nothing. It is pitch black. And after about 10 seconds, I had a glow-in-the-dark watch. And it looked like I had a lightsaber coming out of my wrist. That thing was making noise, wasn't it? And Cameron said, "Cover your watch up." When you're in pitch black darkness, one little glimmer of light is the brightest thing you've ever saw. Oh, it's brand new. That's hope. That's the end of the tunnel right there, buddy. I see light. It's bright. That's the brightest thing we've ever seen. When we get that first bit of light, it's the brightest we've ever seen. That's sweet when a babe of Christ first sees Him in the Old Testament. That serpent's Christ. Do you see that? Well, I want to tell everybody. That's what light you have. Boy, that's the brightest one you've ever seen. First time someone's told that we're the earth. Right here is red dirt standing in front of you. I'm void. I'm dark. I'm empty. The Holy Spirit moved on me. Christ was revealed in me. And He's the one that's acceptable to the Father. He's what's acceptable, not me. There it is. Right there in five verses. Tells me every bit of it. Oh, how long has that been there? It's the first time I've seen it. That's bright light, isn't it? Bright light in a dark cave. That's precious, isn't it? That's precious when we get to see that. I get to see that in my brethren. Something's new to them. It doesn't stop being amazing to one saved by God's grace. Just don't become old hat. His mercies are new every day. He chastens His children. Trials are going to come to humble you. Between the soul that lands on Christ, that rock will be broken, won't it? Broken heart. He don't put a mattress there. There ain't nothing between you and Him. He gets it down to where ain't nothing else. You and Him. No family, nobody else. Gets us right to us. Why? Why do we keep thinking this is so amazing? Why is His grace so precious to us? Because we're thirsty for the living waters of our Savior every day. Boy, we need Him. David told us, "For with Thee is the fountain of life. In Thy light shall we see light." You're the fountain of life. I need You. And the only way I'm going to see light is in Your light. You have to give it to me. When we're given life, Christ the light in us, now we can see the light. When we're given light, we can see it. Now we can see our Lord in the Scriptures, can't we? Now we can see our Lord in creation. Go outside, listen, them birds chirp just a little bit sweeter when you know who owns them, who made them, who made that bird fly right by you. We have light to see Him in providence, working in our lives. Why did I get a broke leg 16 years ago? I know why. Lord broke my leg. What a blessing. What a blessing that was. And we see all this stuff in part, don't we? 5 verses. I feel like I'm hitting a piece of coal and diamonds or flinging out of it. I ain't even scratched it. In the beginning, God. How do we have the Spirit move on the face of our waters? Turn over to John chapter 1. How does this happen in our day? Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God," is this smart? "It's in the wisdom of God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Not foolish preaching. Foolishness of preaching. Here in John 1, verse 6. "There was a man sent from God. He was commanded to go. Irresistibly. Didn't have a choice. God sent him. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist. And the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." If you're going to believe God, you're going to believe it through Christ the light. There ain't no other way. Now this man John, in verse 8, he was not that light. But he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came into his own people. His own received him not. But as many as received him, that Spirit moved upon, put that light in them, commanded it. "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name," which were born, not of blood. They were created. They were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. How does the Spirit move on somebody? A whole mess of people disagree with me. They ain't disagree with me. I ain't the light. I'm just telling you what the light says. Lord said he'll save his people by the foolishness of preaching. Disagree with God if you want to, but that's what he said. There's one source of light. Back in our text there in Genesis 1. I'll hurry up. There's one source of light. It's Christ the light. We know that Noah's Ark was a picture of Christ, isn't it? Noah and his family were put into that ark. That ark was a specific size. It was made to certain specifications. Noah and his family was put in there, and God sealed them in there. Then come the waters of his wrath. They were dry as a bone. Well, that ark took a beating, didn't it? It floated. It persevered. And it came up out of them waters. The Lord set it high on a mountain. Exalted. They were preserved. In that ark, you know how many windows there were? There was one source of light in that big old boat. Christ is that window. He's the light. He's the only source. Outside of Him, apart from Him, any light that man has, that is eternal darkness. It's not right. Here in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light." We just saw how that light's the Lord speaking to His people, Him putting Christ in them. "And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God the Father looks on the heart of His children, of His elect. He sees Christ the light. And he says, that's good. That's good. Look at my good, faithful servant. Christ the light in you. Lord, twice he spoke from heaven. He said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Gives that general call. Then at Mount of Transfiguration gave us that effectual call. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. The message didn't change, but the command did. Hear ye him. The Lord looks upon Christ he's put in you and says, that's good. That's good. He's approved. He's pleased. And God divides that light from the darkness. We are set apart. We are declared for the use of God. We are sanctified. We are anointed. People get wrapped around their axles by all these things. You know what that means? God says, that's mine. Can you imagine if somebody you respected, if the president, whoever, come in and they said, this cup of water is mine. And then they left. Anybody go touch that water? I ain't touch it. That's his. Imagine the Lord saying, this one's mine. It's mine. Touch not mine anointed. What does the work of... Who does the work of setting apart? Do we do that? Do we sanctify ourselves? The Lord's name is Jehovah Makedesh. He said in Leviticus 20, ye shall keep my statutes. It don't seem like you ought to, or you might. His people, they shall. It's in his, all his commandments. They shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifies you. And who does the setting apart? The Lord does. It's his business. In the beginning, God. We are set apart in light. We're given understanding of the Scriptures. He gives us his light to see his light. And that'll set you apart. That'll separate you from your friends and family. Kevin's crazy. He thinks on every page. Look how many pages are in this book. He thinks Christ is on every page. He's lost his mind. May not see him, but that's where he is, isn't it? We are set apart in struggles, trials. Believers have trials. Believers have troubles. The unregenerate person don't. Satan ain't accusing them. He accuses the brethren. And that ain't out publicly on a public stage. That's when you're trying to go sleep at night. Do I know what's right? Oh, maybe I don't. Lord, is it I? A war going on inside of us. That's what David was jealous with me, or Asaph was. He said, their eyes bug out fatness. They got no trouble. They got it made. They got more than they could ask for. All the kids are healthy. All can read good. You got no troubles. Who's going to be with us? Who's going to fix us? All these troubles and these trials. Malachi said, for unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in his wings. That light of Christ is going to come. Boy, when he comes, there's healing, isn't there? What matters then? Nothing. If we can look to him, if we can see him, I ain't hurting as bad no more, am I? This body's going to be gone. 50 years from now, they'll tell you what everything here and here means. Somewhere within that next 50 years, Lord, take me home. I'll be tell you all about it. You shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Be good for us to keep calves, keep some sheep and stuff. Might learn something. You know what a calf in a stall is? They feed it milk, bottle feed it. It gets too much, mama will kick it, get it out of there. But people like to feed cows. Them cows get big and they'll get big quick. Well, they're fed good. Took care of good. Don't rain on them. Somebody comes and cleans the stalls. The Son of Righteousness comes. Healing in his wings. You're going to be like a calf. Took good care of up there in the big barn. Bottle fed. We're not only divided from non-believers in understanding of the Scriptures and the trials that we have, we're divided in ourselves. That light and darkness. Now there's not only darkness. That's why I come into this world void, empty. Now we have darkness and light. Seems like one's always coming and one's always going, isn't it? Ups and downs. Mountains and valleys. Daytime, nighttime. One's prevailing over the other, it seems like. Goes back and forth. We'll see this in a few weeks, but the child of God has a life that rules the night as well. We have a moon. You know, a moon don't have no light in itself. It just reflects the sun, doesn't it? Just a reminder. That bondage that we have in darkness has been broken. It's been removed by Christ the Son. When we're given eyes to see in the light of Christ, everything begins to be viewed as it truly is. Now we see husbands and wives. That's not some profane thing that goes against our culture nowadays. Now we see it in truth. We see parents and children, bosses and employees. Now we see it in the light of Christ. The Lord gathers His people. He gathers them, but He divides the sheep from the goats. There's a difference in sheep and goats, and He divides them. He's the one that separates them. Our Master said, "Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." That light divides. The Lord uses it to divide the day and the night. And He names it. He names them clearly. He said, "You're the sheep. You're mine. You're the goats." Here's that final day. That's the Lord saving His people while we're on this earth. That's the regeneration by God the Holy Spirit. But there'll come a day we'll have a resurrection. This life will be over. We're either going to die in this body of death, or the Lord's going to come. But we're leaving here. There'll be an end to this. Here's the final day. The bride of Christ in that day of judgment. Verse 4, Genesis 1:4. And God saw the light for that throne of judgment. God saw the light and knew that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And He called the darkness night. My sheep are here. The goats are there. And the evening and the morning were the first day. That's the first day of glory. Sin's gone. Blotted out. East is from the west. Never to be mentioned again. Not to be remembered no more. But a holy person. I won't have the ability to sin. I don't say just removed. The holy nature that cannot sin. To be in the presence of my God. To be with Christ my firmament. Christ my heaven. The person. Sit down and eat that marriage supper with Him. And that's day one. That's just the first day. Get sweeter after that, don't it? You know, it wasn't until the fourth day that God hung the S-U-N in the sky. We need Christ, the Son, S-O-N, first. We've got to see that first. Isaiah said, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for the brightness shall the moon give thee light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory." That'll be that last day. Amen. I hope that's a blessing to you. Let's pray together.